how pure and how good God is. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Good to see you. Good to see Sister Fran. Bless you. Good to see all of the precious saints of God. We're glad you're here. Amen. I'm going to read tonight a verse from the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse, 3 and 17, Malachi, the last of the prophets, the last prophet to write before 400 silent years fell upon the earth. And Malachi said this. He said, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Amen. The Lord said, "They shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels." Amen. God's looking for some jewels here tonight. God has some jewels here tonight. I said, God has some jewels here tonight. Amen. What I want to speak to you about tonight is the ministry of a jewel. What is the purpose? I'd like to talk to you about the ministry of a jewel. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Value can be calculated in various ways. Value means different things to different folks. There is a sentimental value. Everybody, perhaps here tonight, has some thing that's valuable to you because of some sentimental attachment. It's something that reminds you of a relationship, of a time, of a place. And it may be something as simple as a rose pressed into a book. It may be something as simple as an old pocket watch that doesn't work anymore. It may be an old pocket knife that's pitted and some of its blades are broken and it doesn't really have a lot of value as far as somebody else is concerned. But it means a lot to you because there's a sentimental attachment. Some things are valuable just because they're old. Too bad that doesn't work with people. But some people will pay a lot for old things. Old cars. I read about a car just this evening preparing. There's a car, it was a Bugatti that was made, they only made six of them between 1927 and 1933. And one of those cars sold recently for $15 million. Just because it's old. Just because it's unique. There's not ever going to be another one like it. And there's cars that are far more comfortable. That one doesn't even have air conditioning. But because it's old, somebody valued that vehicle and paid a lot of money for it. And then there are values that are unique. Some people buy things and treasure things just because there's not another one like it. Amen. There's some of those in the church. Amen. Some of us are one of a kind. And somebody said, "Thank the Lord." Amen. But there's some unique folks. Some of us are unique. And that's good. That's good. You're valuable because there's nobody else like you. Nobody else quite like you. So we're valuable because of our uniqueness. And then there's value, especially these days. And it's a more recent phenomenon, but some things are valuable because of celebrity. There used to be an inn somewhere in the East, and they advertised to get people to stay there saying, "George Washington slept here." When I was in Midland, there was a school that said, "George Bush learned to read here." And we could go on. Amen. So some, you know, people will often pay a lot just for something that's a celebrity. Somebody that they admire, and because of some object that they touched or something they wrote or something they wore, they will pay high prices just because to them it has a value. And so there are things that are valuable. And I did a little looking tonight just because it was interesting. This won't add a whole lot to you, but I thought it was interesting. Did you know what the most expensive action figure in the world is? I was interested in where it would be, whether it would be an action figure or a Barbie. What do you think? G.I. Joe, the original, is worth $200,000. Don't you wish you had an original G.I. Joe? However, number one Barbie made in 1959 is worth $8,000. Sorry. You got that one wrong. However, there is a diamond Barbie that's worth $85,000. Still didn't quite get there. Somebody, there's a baseball card. I didn't know this, but baseball cards, the first ones were put out by tobacco companies, not bubble gum. And in 1909, there was a card put out. There was a shortstop that played for Pittsburgh, and his name was Honus Wagner, 1909. He did not want to support tobacco, so he said, "Don't print any of my cards." So there weren't but just a handful of them. One of those cards recently sold for $1.27 million for a baseball card. The most expensive cow is a red cow by the name of Apple. She recently sold in Connecticut for $1 million. She had five calves that were a few months old. They sold for $160,000 apiece. That's expensive meat right there. The most expensive divorce, 1999. Rupert Murdoch divorced his wife Anna, $1.7 billion. Wow. And guess what? 3 weeks later, he got married again. Some people never learn. The most expensive house, Kensington Palace Gardens in London, was recently bought for $128 million. However, Hearst Palace in California was built in 1920s and the 1930s at a cost of $30 million and today would be worth $280 million. But everybody knows what's happened to the market in California. So if you're looking for cheap housing, shoes. What do you suppose are the most expensive shoes? There was a man, his name's Weitzman, Stuart Weitzman. He made some shoes in 2003 that were fashioned after the shoes that Judy Garland wore in Wizard of Oz. They had something over 600 rubies in them, 652 I believe, and those shoes are for sale, if you're interested, for $1.6 million. But in 2004, he decided to make another pair of shoes, and he made a pair called Cinderella Slippers. And he made those, and they're made of diamonds set in platinum. And there's 565 diamonds. And in each one, there's a 5-carat diamond that sets it all off. And you can buy those, if you'd like, for a mere $2 million. Most expensive stuff. I like this one. The most expensive speeding ticket. Got my attention. Did you know that in Georgia, Nevada, New Hampshire, and North Carolina, you can get a $1,000 ticket if it's your first offense? $1,000 just because you're so lucky it's your first time to get a ticket in that state. But that doesn't take the cake. In Virginia, the most expensive ticket you can get in the United States is $1,350. Watch it when you go through Virginia. Wouldn't take many of those for me to be in trouble. And the most expensive yo-yo. Did you know that the yo-yo is the second oldest toy in the world? The first, of course, being dolls. But yo-yos date all the way back to 2500 B.C. Yo-yos have been around about 4,500 years. So they've been around a long time. Recently, a yo-yo sold at an auction for $16 million. Or a yo-yo. I think somebody was a yo-yo. Amen. And of course, Brother Marshall knows this. 1855 in Sweden, somebody made a mistake. Mistakes can be expensive. Somebody printed the 3-shilling stamp on yellow stock instead of on green stock. And so because of his mistake, one of those stamps, and there's only one in existence that's known, and it sold at an auction for $2,300,000. That's an expensive mistake for a stamp that you can barely read from 1855. People do a lot of weird stuff with their money. Amen. Now, I don't think you and I have to worry too much about any of that. I'd have a hard time paying for the speeding ticket. I wouldn't be able to pay for any of the rest of it. But people do this kind of thing every day. Carlos Slim is still at the head of the Forbes list for the richest men. He added $20 billion to his worth last year, bringing his worth to $74 billion. Bill Gates is a distant second with a mere $56 billion. And then Warren Buffett is riding on the coattails with another $50 billion. So the world's getting sad, isn't it? People getting richer every day, and some of us getting poor every day. Amen. So, but I said all that to say this, that wealthy people oftentimes invest in the things that they think of a value. There are people that have huge collections of art and artifacts that go back for many years, and even some of the paintings are painters that are living today that they sell their paintings for outrageous prices. But people see some value there, and so they buy them. In Bible times, the wealthiest man was probably King Solomon. King Solomon brought in about 25 tons of gold every year. And today, at $1,811 an ounce, that would be considerable. And so he had that kind of money coming in, and he had a throne that was made out of ivory, and it was trimmed in gold, and then all of the plates and all of the cups that he drank out of were made out of gold. There was not a silver platter, but they were all golden platters and all golden cups in his house. He had 4,000 stalls of horses, and he had merchants that would set out and travel for 3 years at a time, just stopping in ports and buying unique things so that they could bring them back to the kingdom of Solomon, and people could know of his great glory. The Bible records that the Queen of Sheba came. She had heard a lot about Solomon, so she came to his kingdom, And she began to see all of the great things. She went to his palace and saw his throne and ate off of his golden plates and drank out of his golden cups. But the Bible said she asked him all the questions that she could think of, and she could never stump him. He had an answer for every question that she asked. And then he said, let's go to church. And when they went to church, as they began to approach the temple of God, all of a sudden, glistening in the sunlight, there were 200 large shields of solid gold and 300 smaller shields of beaten solid gold. And they flashed in the light and revealed the brilliance of what Solomon thought about his God. And when she got through with that service, the Bible says there was no breath left in her. It took her breath away. The way Solomon worshiped God. Amen. So of all the things that Solomon had, at least at one point in his life, the most important thing to him was God. It wasn't his gold, and it wasn't his horses, and it wasn't his palace, and it wasn't any of those things. It was just the fact that he knew God. We know that Solomon got sidetracked, and he did. He went away from God for a time, and he got off into things he had no business getting off into. But if there's anybody that ought to know what life has to offer, Solomon did. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, and he talks about it. He talks about everything. He said, I bought the best wine there was to drink, and I drank it. He gave the most lavish parties that a person could give. He invested in women. He had a string of 1,000 of them. That ought to be more than enough for anybody. And he tried it all. He tried songs and men singers and women singers. And so music was his thing. And he tried music. And every time he tried something, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He said, it's all emptiness. And without God, it doesn't matter how much wealth you have. It does not matter what you acquire with your wealth. Still, there's going to be a gnawing emptiness on the inside, because every person was created with this unique God shape on the inside. And there's nothing in this world that will ever fill that void but the Spirit of God alone. So Solomon said, I tried it all. And he said, hear me, the whole duty of man. He said, this is what it all boils down to. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the bottom line. Respect God and do what he says. I'm going to take his word for it. But on the other hand, what do you suppose God would call a treasure? I mean, think about it. What in the world could God call a treasure? All this stuff I read to you about here tonight and Solomon's great riches, but what about God? What would he call a treasure? The one that created the heavens and the earth with nothing but a word. The one that said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. The one that said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills and the gold that's in the hills, and all of it's his. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. What would God call a treasure? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. Amen. God has some things that he treasures. Exodus chapter 19. The Lord has a special thing that he calls a treasure. There's a treasure that God actually seeks and God actually wants. In the 19th chapter and the 5th verse, the scripture said, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So the Lord said, everything in the earth belongs to me. He said, but the one thing I'm looking for is a people that will obey me and love me and follow after me. Amen. Just somebody to love me and somebody that I can love. That's what God said. Now that's a treasure. When God saw Noah in the time of such wickedness and he saw his faithfulness, God said, now there's a treasure. When God saw Abraham and was able to speak to him, and Abraham said, yes, God, I will come out. I will follow. I will obey. God said, that's a treasure. When Moses responded to the voice from the burning bush and was willing to follow after the will of God to lead Israel out of Egypt and set his people free, God said, now that's a treasure. So God is a little different in what he perceives to be treasure. It's different than what people think, and it's different than what people say. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10, he said, but ye are a chosen generation. Who did the choosing? God did. You're a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He said, you're my treasure. Whoop! Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. What did God pay for this treasure? There's a parable that he gave us in the book of Matthew, and he talks about a man that was seeking goodly pearls. And he said when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold everything that he had to purchase that one pearl. Amen. And of course, he's talking about his church. And he said there was a man that found a treasure hidden in a field. And he went and sold everything that he had. And he purchased the field. The reason he purchased the field was because that's where the treasure was. Amen. But he thought that treasure was worth more than anything else. And of course, Jesus was speaking of himself, that he was willing to lay aside everything. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, he said, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. He paid it all. He sold it all so that he could purchase us and buy us, because he said that we're a jewel. The scripture says it plainly, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Bible said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's what it cost him. It didn't cost him a few million. It didn't cost him a few billion. But it cost him everything. And he was willing to pay that for us, because God said, you're a treasure. Hallelujah. That ought to make you and I feel a whole lot better here tonight. That ought to make us feel a whole lot better, that God would choose us and pay that kind of a price for us. Amen. So then we understand what Paul was talking about in the Corinthian church when he wrote, and he said that what? He said, know you not that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. He said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit,
which are the Lord's.
So then you and I are a purchased possession. Each of us tonight in this place, you're a jewel to God. He bought you. And so if God thought enough about Johnny Grissom to purchase him at such a price, what is my ministry? What is my response? What should I do for God since God has done so much for me? What then is the ministry of a jewel? That's what we're trying to get to tonight. Amen. Now, all a jewel has to do is to be willing to be displayed. You know why people buy stuff like that? So they can show it off. That fellow that paid $15 million for that car, don't you think he wants to show that off to his buddies? That guy that's got that $2 million now, don't you think he wants to show that off to somebody that cares? That guy that's got that baseball card, I promise you, he's got in a safe place. Amen. Somebody that's got a Van Gogh or a Renoir, or they've got one of the great painters, one of the great paintings, and it's displayed in a prominent place, and they want to make sure that when people come by that they see their jewel and they show it off. I was in Washington, D.C. some years ago, and I saw the Hope Diamond. If you've ever seen the Hope Diamond in one of the Smithsonian's there, it's quite a sight. But you look at it, and the way they display it, I mean, they spend a lot of money on that thing just to make it where people can see it. You see, the one that owns it doesn't even keep it in his house. He stuck it in a museum in Washington, D.C. so that millions of people can see it and ooh and ah and say, ooh, my, what a jewel. It's purpose. It's intent. And the reason that it exists and the reason somebody bought it is so that they can bring glory to themselves. Amen. The idea is, yes, it's a precious jewel. Yes, it's a priceless painting. Yes, it's a valuable work of art or an object. But I want you to know, it belongs to me. I'm the one that bought it. It's not the jewel that's greater. It's the one that bought the jewel. Hear me tonight. The ministry of his jewel is not to bring glory to itself. It's not to shine and try to outshine the one that purchased the jewel and the one that owns the jewel. But the reason tonight that you and I have been purchased is so that we can bring glory to God that purchased us with his own blood. That's the reason we exist. Brother Hunt, you do that. You're out there on that drilling rig. Hey, amen. I don't know how it is where you work, but I know how it was where I worked on a drilling rig. It wasn't many Christians where I was. Matter of fact, I was the only one. And they didn't sing the same kind of songs I sung. Amen. And when they hit their thumb, they talked different than I did. I mean, they didn't have to hit their thumb. They just talk different than I did. Amen. Praise God. And the first thing we did when we left the drilling rig was stop at the first store. And they didn't buy Pepsis. And they all went in and they got their tall, their cold one. And they all came out. Amen. You know where I rode? There was a camper on the back of the pickup. I just got back there. Me and my Pepsi. Amen. And while they were listening to Waylon, amen, I was just back in the back enjoying my Pepsi. Me and the Lord. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? It made an impact. And for years to come, they would ask my cousin, who was the driller, they'd say, what about that preacher that used to work with us? What's he doing? What's still going on? And so even though I wasn't a preacher then, that's what they called me, because they were not used to being around people that were real Christians. Amen. That's our job tonight. It's to show forth the glory of God. I went to see my sweet little aunt this afternoon, and Sister Lena Bell Lowry, precious lady that's a member of this church for so many, many years. And she's not doing well physically. Her body is quickly winding down. Amen. But the nurse that was there, the keeper, the hospice worker was saying, and she was saying, oh, she's so sweet. She never complains. Whenever she says, how are you doing? Are you in any pain? Well, I'm in a little pain, but I'm going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. Never a word of complaint. Always a shining light. Amen. Why is that? Because she's a jewel. She's one of God's jewels. Amen. Praise God. It makes a difference, folks, when you're one of God's jewels. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard a story some years ago in Houston, Texas. You might remember back, I think, in the 70s, there was an evil man that killed quite a number of young men. And he would take those young men and abuse them, torture them in horrible ways. There was a family there, apostolic family, attended one of our churches. And their son disappeared. They found him among the number of those young men that had been slain. They were so concerned. Because, like a lot of young people, he decided to try his wings. He decided, well, you know, I'm going to try a little bit of the world. And it was while he stepped out just a little bit that he was taken, abused, and murdered. They were heartbroken. But during the trial, while they were speaking to Gacy? I forget his name. But they were talking to the accused and to get testimony. And he was given testimony. And he said, one of those young men was different than all the rest. He said, from the time that I captured him, he was different. He used, all of them prayed, he said, but when that young man prayed, he spoke in a tongue that I could not understand. He said there was something that just glowed about him. Amen. And of course, that comforted the heart of that mother and father, because they knew that even though their son was in a horrible situation, went through a terrible ordeal, they knew that he'd made his way to God. And in the face of abuse and torture and murder itself, a jewel was doing its ministry, speaking in tongues, glorifying God. Hallelujah. That's our job. We're called to minister and bring glory to God. That's our job. Amen. Young people in the hallways of your school, that's what you do. That's what you do. Amen. That's what the twins did last year in the talent show. Amen. When they did their presence of the Lord is here, and the Spirit of the Lord was there. You see, that's a jewel. That's what a jewel does. Amen. Others of you bring glory where you go. Amen. And some of you, when you step into situations, you're the greatest sunlight in people's lives. Amen. Brother Raymond Neal, you brought a lot of hope to folks when you were doing hospice. Don't you ever doubt that you had a ministry there. And you helped some people. And you may not have seen as many come as far as you wanted them to come. But it ain't over. You made an impact. You made an impact. And God uses His people. Praise God. Wherever you are, God uses. On your job, God uses you. And you're a jewel. And all the time, God's Some people see that right there. That's one of mine. Amen. Hear that? Amen. Listen to him. You're humming over there, and while you're humming, you know you're just humming some good gospel song. Amen. And you're ain't God good? Amen. And you're just worshiping while you're working, and there's just something about it. And what you don't understand is when you worship the Lord in any situation, that there's something that goes out from you. Jesus called it virtue. And it goes out when you're in a situation, and it may not be a pleasant situation. You may be in a situation where it's very hostile toward you. But even in a situation where it's hostile and it's cold, there's something that goes out. And you're still ministering the glory of God. That's the ministry of a jewel. That's what you and I are called to do. Amen. That's what God paid so much for us. Amen. And if there's something that is worth, there's always going to be thieves that are out to get it. You know these people that buy all these great jewels and all these great treasures, paid all these money for all these trinkets. Did you know that they'll spend more than that oftentimes just in security? They have to buy insurance, huge policies. They have to put it in a secure place. They spend many times millions of dollars just trying to secure the jewel that they bought. So that, because they know one thing, that if it means something to me and it has value to me, it's going to have value to somebody else. And you hear me tonight, it's not any different in the church. There is a thief that would love to steal you away. Jesus talked about it. He said it, and when they went out, he said there's a thief, and he tries and he comes to steal the word of God out of your heart. And when you leave this service tonight, he's going to do everything he can to take everything that you got. If you're a husband and a wife, he'll try to set you against one another. What did you mean by that? I didn't mean anything by that. What do you think I meant? And the next thing you know, boom. Where's the Word of God? Huh? Where's the Word of God? We've got to be careful, don't we? Amen. Just give a big smile and say, I love you, honey. I didn't mean anything. Amen. That's just the old thief trying to get the Word of God out of the car. We're all right. Right? Aren't we? Right. Praise God. We're going to be okay here. Yeah. We know what he's up to. We're not going to let him in. Amen. And so that's what the thief does. He'll try to steal things away from you. He'll try to steal your very soul. He'll try to steal your precious salvation. He'll try to steal your holiness. He'll steal your purity. He'll steal your convictions. He'll steal everything precious that he can, because if the devil knows one thing, he knows that you are a jewel tonight. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some jewel's not listening to me. That needs to be listening to me tonight. Did you get it, Jewel? Amen. Don't you allow the devil to steal you away. He'll try. He'll do everything he can. Because you matter. You matter. If only you knew how much you matter. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to see somebody that was a jewel soiled and torn, devastated, tarnished. Amen. It's so sad. It's heartbreaking. Amen. It should cause us to weep anytime we hear about anybody that fails from the grace of God. That's more than just something to gossip about, folks. I said that's more than something to gossip about. That's something you better pray about. Before you start spreading the bad news, you need to spend some time on your knees asking for restoration. God, restore them again. Amen. That's a Christian response. That's how a Jewel responds. Somebody that realizes that I have a ministry, I have a purpose, I have a life. Amen. So tonight we're treasures to God. You matter to God. Amen. And you know, treasures, I don't suppose, understand their value. Especially, think of that little old stamp. What in the world? It's a piece of paper, for goodness sake, with a few cents of ink on it. It's not worth anything. And if that stamp could speak tonight, it ought to know, I'm not worth anything. I don't know why anybody would pay $2.3 million for something like me. I'm just a piece of paper. Baseball card. Amen. It's just a piece of paper with some ink on it. Somebody's picture. Why would anybody pay such a fortune? It understands, I'm not worth anything. Amen. A painting on a wall. It's just paint on canvas. It's really not worth much. The canvas is worth a few dollars, and the paint's worth a few dollars, and that's all it's really, really worth. But it's worth something to somebody. So you and I tonight, I understand that I know that as a human being, I'm not worth a whole lot. I share the planet with 6 billion plus more human beings, and I'm just one of them. I'm not worth a whole lot. But somebody made me a treasure. Somebody did. Somebody said, you're worth that to me. You may not think you're worth anything, but I think you're worth a lot. You're worth something to me. Amen. It's been a while since I've done this. Maybe some of you haven't seen. But I got in here, I got a $20 bill. So how much is this worth? Well, what if I just drop it on the floor? What if I step on it? What if I just pick it up and get mad and wrinkle it all up and throw it down? Now what's it worth? Is it? Why? You can't cheapen it. No matter what you do to it, it's still recognized by the Treasury of the United States that this is $20. Doesn't matter what I think it is. And it doesn't matter what you think it is. It's still $20. Because it's recognized by our treasury as being $20. You may not think you're worth much. It doesn't matter. Because to God, you're worth a lot. He thinks you're a treasure. So it doesn't really matter. But Brother Griffin, you don't know what I've done. He does. But he still thinks you're a treasure. Oh, but if you just knew how many times I failed. He does. But he still thinks you're a treasure. But you don't know what I've been through. He does. But he still thinks you're a treasure. See, we've got to get our thinking straightened out here. And it's not us. It's not about Johnny Grissom. It's not about you. I have a ministry. I'm a jewel because God made me a jewel because He thinks something. And He put His Holy Spirit in me and He gave me His name and He put me into His family. And He cleansed me with His blood and He made me something special. And because of that, I have a ministry as a jewel of God. So it no longer matters what I think about me. Now it matters what God thinks about me. Amen. And it matters what God thinks about you. Would you stand with me tonight? We have a ministry. And our job is just simply to bring glory to God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6 and 3, he said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? God's going to make you a judge one day. And you're going to be judging angels. That's what he thinks of you. He thinks you're pretty special. People may not think you're smart, but God thinks you're smart. People may not think you're good, but God knows you're good. He's made you something very special tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord said to Malachi, He said, I'm going to make up my jewels. What does he mean by that? Well, everything that glitters is not a jewel. Everything that glitters is not gold. Everything that shines is not a diamond. But God knows where the jewels are. And there's some shiny things that are not going to make it as a jewel. But he's going to say, yeah, that's one right there. And he's going to take it. And he said, this is one over here. And we call it the rapture of the church. And that's when God comes. And he, if you've ever seen a magnet, you know, you can wave a magnet, and not everything's attracted to a magnet, is it? This wood won't attract the magnet, and this paper won't be attracted, and this plastic cap will not be attracted, and that water would not be attracted. Amen. None of that's going to be attracted. But if you've got the metal in certain metals, and when you wave that across and a strong magnet, it's going to be attracted, and it's going to attach itself. Amen. And so when Jesus comes, that's how it's going to be. Hallelujah. There's a song a number of years ago out of Jamaica that said the Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Hallelujah. And there's some things that get attached to it. I love that in a service. You know, some people clip their fingernails, and some people look for bubble gum underneath the pew, and people get on there in their mind. They're off at work or somewhere. But there's some people the Holy Ghost gets to moving, and they get attracted, and they get attached. And they cling to the Spirit of God, because it's special to them. Amen. And that's his jewels. Hallelujah. That's his jewels. You got a ministry tonight. Your ministry is to bring glory to the one that purchased you at so great a price. Amen. Praise God. Ministry of the jewel. Let's come tonight and dedicate ourselves again. Would you? Just come with your hands lifted and your mind made up. Jesus, I'm going to be a witness. Help me to show forth the glory of God everywhere that I go. If I'm in the marketplace, let me show forth the glory of God. When I'm in my home, let me show forth the glory of God. If I'm in the school, let me show forth the glory of God. Amen. Everywhere that I am, let me show forth the glory of God.
Lord, I'm gonna Hallelujah. Lift you up.
Oh, let me show forth your glory, God. Let me show forth your glory. Let me bring praise to your name. Wherever I am, let people feel your sweet Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost go out of my life and permeate the entire atmosphere. Amen. When I'm in the presence of impurity, let the Holy Ghost go out, Lord, and with conviction. Praise God, with conviction.
Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Oh, yes. Wherever there's a workplace, God, help me to influence that. Make me like a thermostat. Rather than go down to the level of the workplace, help me to raise the temperature there up to a comfortable level of righteousness, morality, and goodness. Lord, when I'm in school, there's godly and ungodliness on every hand. In a classroom where there's ungodliness, help me, God, to let my testimony go out. Let my presence and my prayer and my praise permeate the atmosphere until it's changed. Hallelujah.
Lord, I'm going to lift you up.
Make me worthy of you. Help me, God, to realize my worth.
Lord,
not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've made of my life, but because of what you have made of me. Help me, Lord. I want to have a ministry as a jewel. I want to shine like a star against the darkness of the sky. Amen. I want to bring glory to you. I want to bring glory to your name.
I
want to bring glory to your name. Hallelujah. Use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus.
No matter what the rest of the world would do, as long as I have breath to sing for you, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Amen.
Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. As long as I have breath, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. No matter what the rest of the world would. As long as I have breath to sing for you, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up.
Jesus said, he said, you're salt. He said, you're the salt of the earth. When you have, it doesn't take but just a little bit of salt to make a difference. I said it only takes a little bit of salt to make a difference. Amen. And so you can take a big pot and just add a little salt, and it already has an influence. You can add more darkness to a situation. It doesn't change anything. It's still dark. But you can mix in just the smallest amount of light, and it makes a difference. Amen. Because light has a great influence. It conquers darkness. It's greater than darkness. And Jesus said, you're the light. You may not think you're very bright, but he said, you'll make a difference because you're light. You'll make a difference because you're salt. Amen. Your influence will be felt. Amen. Your influence will be known. As a matter of fact, did you know that the Antichrist will not be revealed while the church is here? Because of your influence. You have an influence, and the Bible said, but when he that is restraining evil is taken out, then lawlessness is going to come. But there are certain things that are not going to happen to the earth until your influence is removed. Praise God. That's how powerful the church is tonight. That's what God thinks about you. And that's how special the church is. Amen. We got a job to do. Each of us tonight, we've got a job to do. And our job is to show forth His glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Amen. I want to serve Him better than I've ever served Him. I want to make more of a difference than I've ever made before. I want my light to shine more brightly. My influence to make a greater impact than ever before. Help me, Lord Jesus. Let me be that person. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, this little life of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. That may be a little high. And we may need a ladder to get there. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine all over Athens. I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all over Athens. I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all over Athens. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. 'Cause Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's go forth and let's let it shine. Don't forget serving over in the fellowship hall. Come over for fellowship and food, and let's come over and just have a good time tonight in the Lord. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Alrighty. Amen. Let's pray for a little love.